Welcome to another installment of our podcast series for our Nordic EdTech Network project. I'm Eilif Tronsen, and I'm very pleased to be interviewing Christian Colin Berge this morning. Christian is the founder and CEO of EdTech Foundry, makers of Differ, and is also an entrepreneurship lecturer at the University of Oslo. So I'm very happy to welcome a countryman of mine to our podcast series, Christian, and I'm also looking forward to seeing you soon at the World Learning Summit in Kristiansand. So welcome.
Thank you. Very happy to be here, Eilif.
To kick things off, can you talk a little bit about the start of the EdTech Foundry and maybe specifically what led you and your co-founder to start the company and a little bit about what your vision was for the company?
Sure. So I've been teaching entrepreneurship for 8 years at the University of Oslo. And to be quite honest, I've been struggling a bit with the tools provided to me by the university. So this whole startup, this whole venture comes out of intense pain as a teacher trying to teach with the LMSs and et cetera. So I found over my years of teaching, I found that once I had the students in the classroom, there was no problem. But the minute they left the classroom, I would have no way of approaching them, contacting them, following them up or anything until I saw them again the next week. So the original pain for me was to have some easier way for me to communicate and engage my students. That was the start. And then I met Anne Berit Svanberg at VI Learning Lab at the conference in Oslo. And they had been doing a project called VI 2020, looking at different technologies and how the education market will look in the year 2020. And they had arrived at a few different scenarios that they thought would be prevailing, but they didn't find the right technology, the right tools to do that. And their visions and my visions as well were very much aligned. So we decided to make this collaboration where they essentially became the first customer of EdTech Foundry, and we, together with my co-founders, we built a new product, a new technology for them to use.
Yeah, that's great. And I read the document on the Vision 2020 of BAE, and I thought it was very well done. And I'm a big fan of scenario planning, and I've used scenarios in many of our projects here in Silicon Valley. But let's go on. And can you talk a little bit about your EdTech journey so far? And especially in terms of some of the major highlights, and the most rewarding experiences you had, but also some of the toughest and challenging parts of being an entrepreneur. We all know that it's ups and downs, and that's part of it. So can you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. So the journey, I guess, for the last 2 years has been summed up as working together with BI and other universities as well, and testing different technologies to increase student engagement. And we're now at the point of, we have done like a lot of different testing. We're now at the point of scaling up, so building an actual solution that will become or is already a product and to be used at other universities in different countries. I would say one of the first epiphanies I had during this work would be actually my understanding of students and how they approach learning and what kind of frustrations they have during their courses. Because at that point, I had been teaching for 6 years already, and I guess I saw myself as an okay teacher. I had good reviews from my students. But during this work with my with EdTech Foundry, I've interviewed and done user tests with hundreds of students, and kind of this whole new world has opened up for me in terms of understanding of what is actually student life and what are their problems and and what they need help with. So I think, for one thing, this process of making new technology for education has made me better as a teacher, for sure. That's one very positive thing I've had from it. I guess some of the tougher parts have been, understanding the education market and speaking with educators that I believe to be living in an old paradigm. And discussing with them when we seem to have very different worldviews, so to speak. I think that's been tough, and it's always a reality check for me when I speak. If I surround myself only with the most engaged teachers and our prior teachers and everything, I think we all we have the same view of the education world. However, then whenever I go out to different schools, meet different universities, always meet people who feel differently, and that's great. But then it's a big discussion to be had.
Right. So we just talked about your role at the University of Oslo and with BEI and so on. So I guess the higher education market is a natural market segment for EdTech Foundry to tackle. And of course, the topic of smarter universities is, of course, an overarching theme we will be discussing in Kristiansand. So I look forward to talking to you more about that. But do you expect to stay in that market segment, or do you think, if you look longer term, that you might expand either into the K-12, which is what most edtech companies are focused on around the Nordics, I have found, or perhaps into the corporate market, which I think is kind of a low-hanging fruit segment that many ignore. So I'd love to hear you some of your perspectives on that.
We do focus on higher ed at the moment. However, we do also have requests from secondary education, especially from high schools. Actually, high schools in the U.S. Have been quite interested. And also we have interest from corporates who actually want to use our tools for knowledge sharing in the corporate world. So I do believe there is potential, both going down to the K-12 and going up to the corporate. But just out of necessity, I think we do focus now on higher ed just to be able to focus our products and our efforts towards the market.
Yeah. No, I think it makes good sense to focus. But longer term, and I don't know if you had any discussions with Trond Markussen and others at the Research and Educational Network organization, REN, that is part of Innovation Norway, but they have a number of members that are in the corporate segment. So that might be something for you to consider, having discussions with them and giving a presentation to them about what you're doing.
Yeah, but we did actually at BI.
They had a last
gathering here at BI, so we had a presentation.
Oh, good. Now, many edtech companies struggle with finding the appropriate business model. Has that been a challenge for you, or has your academic training come in handy and helped you come up with a satisfactory monetization strategy for the company, or is that still a work in progress?
Well, we have had paying customers from day one. From the very first day we had, when we started working with BI, it was structured as a paid pilot. Mm-hmm. I think for us, it's not been a problem so far. I mean, we are changing in a transition time from doing paid pilots, quite high priced paid pilots, to more like a software as a service business model where we just charge per student per year. So that's the transition we are in now. But I guess it's always some issues, like trying to find the right pricing and trying to find the right position. It requires some testing, which we're doing now. with different schools. One thing, though, also I would like to mention is that my dream is actually to make a free version of this, of promoting, really give it away for free. That would be a really different model. But that depends on a few things I won't get into here, maybe. That's my goal. I think that's the way I think we can reach the most students and teachers in the quickest amount of time.
Yeah, free is always popular. Or if someone else pays the bills, so...
Yeah.
So let's talk more about that in Kristiansand. I'd love to hear what you're thinking about that. And,
sure.
And I'm sure, yeah, other companies attending that conference might have a strong interest in that. Now, I know that you're quite interested in and I guess also bullish on the potential role of advanced technology like AI, and especially how AI may find use in chatbots, for instance. But can you share some of your perspectives on how you see this and other emerging technologies perhaps playing a role in the future of education and learning, both in the Nordics and elsewhere, and how do you see EdTech Foundry leveraging this technology in the future?
Well, if you look at higher education, from the user tests we have done, we found that more than half of the students say that they can't keep up with their courses.
Right.
And a reason for that is they're not getting the right kind of follow-up from that they could be getting from the teachers. I think AI and chatbots can do a good job at actually scaling this up, scaling up personalized follow-up to students. Some examples, one simple example is just to be able to answer frequently asked questions from the students.
Right.
Just to make sure that the students get immediate and instant answers so they're not stuck in their work. That's one way. But the more interesting way, I think, and also more complex way would be to send out, or based on the course curriculum and the course plan, and based on the actual activity of each student, to send out automatic follow-up messages from chatbots to students. And this is what we're working on now, to make a best practice of. I think the possibility to provide this kind of automatic follow-up is great.
Yeah, I know you went to South by Southwest and spoke there, and I hope you had a good time, and I hope you had some good meetings, and I know that you were thinking about maybe looking at some potential collaborators in the U.S. Are there companies doing interesting things that could be of interest to you in terms of partnerships and so on in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of, I'm starting to see a lot of movement within chatbots and AI in education. Certainly the last year has been a boom, both for AI and chatbots. But education has been a bit slow to adopt these technologies, I think. I'm seeing quite a few of them right now. And also many of them that we would like to partner with. Since we have our product Differ contains two things, both a class communication app and the chatbot, we are at liberty to open up our APIs to have other chatbots and other suppliers integrate with Differ. So that's something we seek to do. We already have some friends over there in the U.S. For example, I would mention AdmitHub, that does chatbot and AI for enrollment of students, which is very interesting. That's just to mention one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I think AI will certainly hit education sooner rather than later, and just a matter of time.
Okay. Now, I know you have been a close observer of the Norwegian and even the Nordic edtech scene for a number of years now. So how do you see the progress and evolution of the center of Norway's edtech industry in Oslo, and especially the key institution driving that edtech community, I guess, which is the Oslo EdTech Cluster. And how do you, what else do you think could be done to build a stronger Norwegian edtech industry?
Yes, so I would say the last couple of years, at least, there's been a big increase in focus on edtech, and especially through Oslo EdTech Cluster, which I think has helped a lot. We've also seen one big success with Kahoot, international success,
right,
from edtech in Norway, which has helped put us on the map, so to speak. I think what needs to be done, this goes not necessarily for Norway, but I would say for the education industry to adopt education technologies more quickly, is to have a better process of piloting new technologies. That's my opinion. I think each and every institution we talk to has a different approach to piloting and trying out new tools. And I think if there were some sort of network or organization in place or program in place to allow piloting across different universities, across with a different or with a similar kind of project, that would help a lot. Because to be successful, the education tools or the edtech products, they need to be developed in close collaboration with the schools and the teachers. Right. And the students to use them. If you don't do that, it's always going to be just a random set of startups building random technologies not connected to the real scenarios faced by the students and the teachers in class. So if I were to put my finger on one thing, it would be that something that would help startups, edtech startups, connect more easily with institutions for pilot.
I think that's a really good point, Christian, and I would love to bring that up at the conference in Kristiansand and get some real discussion going on, because an overarching theme, at least of one of the presentations I will give, will be the Nordic Challenge and how we can enable things to across the Nordic region, and getting collaboration on something like that, I think, could not only help the edtech companies and strengthen the edtech industry in the Nordic region, but also help the institutions, whether it's high schools or universities across the region. And since the topic of the conference is smarter universities, I think that is quite appropriate to have that as a discussion point. So I look forward to getting you involved in a discussion like that. But let's finish things up here. And the last question I have is, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the edtech industry's role in education and learning, and especially hear your reaction to an argument that some people make that edtech, at least so far, is helping calcify an industry that needs radical transformation. Some, including especially Mark Prensky, who happens to live here in Silicon Valley, and I had coffee with Mark some months back and talked about his book, and I think Mark spoke at BEI late last year as well, and he feels that edtech does more harm than good, and that's obviously something that I had to sit back and I was taken aback when he said that, but that's how some people see it. And so how do you see the future of edtech and its role in both schools and universities, and is it going to hold them back from a transformation, or can edtech accelerate and facilitate a transformation to something that's much better?
I guess I'm a bit biased there, since I'm in the industry making new technology for the
right.
schools. But yeah, I would say, of course there is benefit from edtech in learning and teaching, But also, of course, learning is a human thing. It's not something you do with technology. It's something that people do as humans. I'm sure that technologies play a role in this. Simple example is we are working with AI, of course, I am an engineer from way back in the day when I studied, but I'm not an AI engineer. So I'm spending a lot of my evenings now actually doing Stanford courses on AI, but over the internet, right? And that's some learning that I would not be able to do if I didn't have this technology. So that's just one example from my personal life where technology has really helped me access and learn more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously how I see things too. There are a lot of different elements here, but certainly giving easier access, and the internet is a fantastic infrastructure. Although these days, over the last year, of course, we've seen a lot of misuse of that infrastructure, and a lot of technologists are having some second thoughts. I heard a very good presentation at Stanford recently where the former president of Estonia expressed some serious concerns about what is happening on the internet, you know, because of the hacking and fake news and all this stuff that is threatening democracy. So I think a lot of people are rethinking and being a little more realistic about what this infrastructure that we now have can do, for good or bad, but let's hope that it will, you know, the technology will tip the balance towards the good and democratize learning and give you access to learning that you couldn't have before, and that we won't see too much more hacking and ransomware of health institutions that we've just seen over the last few days and so on. So let's end this podcast on a positive note, right?
Yes, I was just going to say that I think the key for the edtech industry is, you shouldn't expect to just drop a piece of technology into a course and magic happens. Right. You need to apply it pedagogically. Sometimes I see technologies being tested too early, from the viewpoint, does this work or not?
Right.
Well, in the beginning, nothing works. I mean, in a very early beginning of a new tool, the question should be how to get this to work, not does it work or not.
Right.
So we need to apply some pedagogical thinking around how to create these tools and how to apply them. And I think if you do that, I think you'll see that it has a clear benefit.
Yeah, I think that's where you have had a strong benefit of working closely with BAE. So it's kind of co-developed the platform and the tools. And I would strongly recommend that to all edtech companies, to find good partners, pilot partners, and co-develop and make sure that the products work right and give the kind of benefits to students and others that will be using it as the companies had anticipated. So, okay, well, I'll end it there. Thank you very much, Christian. Have a good evening, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Kristiansand.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye.